Bienvenue à Les Affaires Brassicole, votre balado sur l'entrepreneuriat brassicole du Québec, avec Leonardo Calcagno de Baron Mac.
So my name is Rob Carefoot. I am the owner, operator, Sasquatch founder, payroll for Carefoot Beverage Solutions. I supply equipment, ideas, design layouts, piping, rigging, pretty much everything to build a production plant for beer, but I can also do other alcohol venues or beverage plants. I am very well known for my glycol lines. I use strictly George Fisher pre-insulated pipe, which is an excellent product.
And that's it. Tell me, first of all, is that your true name, Carefoot?
Carefoot, yep.
Okay, good. That's a question people ask me when they saw your ad on our site. You were like, is that a real name or is it like a prince name?
No. Like that? That's my name. Backgrounds are from the UK. You know, my heritage is English, Scottish, Irish, and some French, but no Native American or Native Canadian. It's all Anglo, I guess you want to call it. Anglo-Saxon, if you want to call it. Proud of my name. That's why my company is called my name or named after me. So, and I try to live up to it every day.
Excellent. So, how big is your company?
There's me and another guy that we work on site. I do have an outside accountant firm that does all my accounting for me, and then I do have my partner that runs my social media.
Okay, so you guys are. But you guys, I know since I met you, you've been very busy. I mean, you guys have been traveling around, and you've been traveling outside the country to do projects, stuff like that. But tell me, why do people come after you? Why people look at your work and say, you know, well, that kind of work is not. I know you're a busy man because people like you a lot and you do a very good job. But what is the, you know, like you say, like, this is my, you know, my Mona Lisa, and that's why people come after me.
Because we do it right. We make sure that, you know, we don't come back to fix things because we do it right. Okay. You're set up for the future. You know, we take everything into an account and we plan and we build accordingly. You know, if you're going to add 10 tanks in the future, we're going to make sure we size your lines and you have options on your chiller that will accommodate you in the future. So that when you do your additions or your growth, you're not shut down. You can add your tanks, build onto your lines, or put an addition onto your chiller. You know, same thing for your steam or your boiler.
You know, whatever equipment you have.
Whatever. Like, we'll size it right. We'll make sure it's right. And we'll make sure that you know the options you have to do it. You know, and you know what the cost implications are. You know, if it's going to cost you $5,000 or $6,000 to get a bigger chiller so that you're okay, you know, in 5 or 10 years, well, why wouldn't you just do that now? That way there you save on the shipping, you save on your customs again, you don't have the hassle of tying chillers together. It's just easier.
Okay, cool. Tell me, you know, like a couple of years ago we started covering the contract brewing, the brewing industry.
Right.
There was a lot of thing about, you know, like, you know, when you build a brewery, you always had to say, I'm going to expand the brewery. That was the idea behind it. Right now, with the sales going a little bit down, stuff like that, the sales are going down. Do you still see people going after saying, we're going to expand in the future? Or right now, we're like, we don't expand in the future. We're going to do as much as we can do what we have right now.
People right now are still expanding, but it's just at a slower rate. Instead of adding 4 tanks, they're going to add 2.
Okay, sure.
And they might be smaller tanks. If you have a 10-barrel brewhouse, people are looking at adding 10s or 5s, not 20s anymore, because they want to do those smaller beers that are experimental and that what customers seem to really like. But we also have breweries that are, you know, they've got one location and they're wanting to build another one. Like if a brewery's got a production facility, now they're looking at, you know, doing a brew pub, but with select menu, but a bigger beer menu there.
Well, do you see that more and more?
Yeah, that's what the trend is right now.
Because we see that in the United States, and I was talking to you, I think yesterday, and we've seen that a lot of like in Ontario. In Quebec, we haven't seen that. Here in Ontario, like 20 of them this year. And in Quebec, it's like 3 of them.
I don't know.
It is a weird thing. It's like for us, it's an amazing strategy, you know. But for you, what kind of tips would you give somebody who wants to go and do a tap room, like start a new tap room somewhere or a brew pub, so like that? What would you say to them? You know, like, okay, you have your production facility, do your tap room. Do you have any like little tips that you can tell people?
Right now, the tip is go smaller. If you're doing a production or not like a tap room or a brew pub, you know, if you have a main brewery to support your brew pub, but you then go smaller so you can do funky one-off beers and you can keep on pumping them out. Put a 5-barrel or 5-hec brew house in max and just put a bunch of 5-barrel tanks in there so that you can do all these different beers that what bring people in. You can still support your main, your core brands from your main production brewery, but all your funky stuff and your adventure stuff, you know, do it at the other plant. You know, you can get into doing lacto or funky beers that are gonna, or Brett beers.
Or beer with shower, or like water shower.
Yeah, whatever, you know. You want to put olives in a beer and try it, do it at the brew pub with a small tank.
So have you done the small tanks?
Like a small brew house?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've done 5 barrel systems, 5X systems. But
so how does it work? I mean, what kind of equipment are they looking for?
Well, you're still looking for your brew house and your HLT or your CLT with water and your tanks. How many tanks you get depends on your space you have. But you still need a chiller, you still need a boiler. You know, if you're doing self-serving tanks, you don't really need packaging because you're going to serve off those tanks. You know, if we do have breweries that are putting in their tanks for the brew pub, you know, and if it's a 5 barrel system or 7, we're splitting their serving tanks to smaller, to 3s or 3.5s.
Yeah.
So that they can age them out a little differently or add different dry hops into them. Just so that they have one base beer, but with different hoppings, it's 2 different beers.
So do you see trends here? I mean, do you see that trend only in Ontario or across the province, across Canada?
We see it in Ontario. We see it with all the builds going on that we're doing in Newfoundland.
Okay, yeah.
Right? They're starting to put in serving tanks so that they can split things up again and again and again.
That's pretty interesting because, yeah, like I said, I see that a lot in the U.S., not Canada. Canada's been slowly, besides Ontario, they've been going nuts like here to do that.
Well, it's funny because when we're in Newfoundland's like, I would say, you know, 5 to 10 years behind what we are here in Ontario.
Okay, good.
Right? Like, Ontario had the big growth spurt in, you know, 2016 to, you know, 2019, but Newfoundland's got their big growth spurt now.
Okay. Right? There's bigger than Alberta and all those places?
Well, I've got 5 doing in Newfoundland right now, so you know, that's a good growth spurt.
Why do you think it's going like that right now? Because people are, there's better investment, better money,
because
what's happening?
People see the trend of what's going on. You know, Newfoundland is a small province. There's only 525,000 people, but you know, they love to drink. They love to have a good time, but there's a lot of tourism there all times of the year, whether you're going whale watching, fishing, or you're going to see the moose or the caribou, you know, or you're going hiking on one of the thousands of kilometers of trails, you know, or you're going to Terra Nova Park. There's all kinds of stuff to do, so tourism is very strong, and the tourists are coming from all over Canada and all over US, where craft beer, micro beer, has a huge impact on what everybody does.
Of course.
So it's reaching Newfoundland now, where they're experiencing, like, people want different things, you know.
So what kind of beer do you see in Newfoundland right now?
Everything.
Okay, there's nothing new, like some weird thing going out there?
You know, they might be, but I haven't experienced it yet. But again, I'm going back out in a couple of weeks.
Dude,
so
send us an email. You never know, some crap thing going
right
on, man.
Yeah, the beer is very good and clean. That we have not had a bad beer yet, which is good. You know, there's a lot of different breweries out there, and they're small. Like, you know,
that's
there's
great,
breweries
man.
In towns with 106 people in it, you know.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah.
I used to live in Spain, and it's like in a small village, and there's like 5,000 people, and there's 2 small breweries.
Yeah, right. So,
and people, and they're always full, and they're always making good money out of it, man.
You know, and there's all these, you know, harbors and coves all throughout the coast, you know, and there's all these empty fish plants. So why wouldn't you take a fish plant where you've already got the drain infrastructure in, and you've already got the water, and you know what, it's already got a ton of power, so they're all for sale throughout the entire province, so it's a perfect time to go and put a brewery in a fish plant.
Dude, guys, I think it's a new trend coming
out.
Yeah. Now, it's great, man.
Why not?
So tell me, we're the OCBC right now in Ontario. So tell me, what kind of questions people are asking right now in Ontario? I mean, it's a different market. Like you said, the market's kind of weird, like across Canada. It's going down, going up, going down. Mm-hmm. But people that talk to you are pretty much what they're looking for.
What we've had predominantly in the last 2 days is people looking to improve what they have.
Okay.
People saying, you know, their tanks aren't crashing in 24 hours. It's more like 3 days or 4 days. Well,
that
affects production huge, right? Because you're tying up a tank for that 3 to 4 extra days.
You need to sell your beer
so
fast.
You know, we got to look at the chiller first, and then, you know, if the chiller's sized correctly, then we've got to look at the glycol lines because they're not sized correctly. It's not usually the tank's fault why you're not crashing in time. It's usually got to do with your chiller or your piping.
So the key is like a lot of reparation here, a lot of keeping up speed, equipment, stuff like that here.
Correct, yes.
Okay, okay, okay. That's interesting because we had someone in the province of Quebec that they stopped doing and they're like equipment, and now they're doing only improvement right now.
Yeah. So and it's a big thing, you know, people that are making good beer and that are surviving and growing still, they want to keep growing and surviving, but they need. It's sometimes it's cheaper to improve what you have at a higher cost to pick up a few days off of your production. You know, instead of turning a tank over, you know, 23 or 24 days, you're turning it over in 20 or 21 days.
Okay, okay.
You know, most breweries see the outlook that, you know, that saves them a lot of days in a year and how much more beer they can brew and how much they can increase their production.
Do you see more and more automatization? I guess so. You're working a lot more with people going to automate their feelings with a beer and all that stuff. Do you see more and more of that?
Sorry, say that again.
Automatization of equipment, stuff like that. Do you see more and more?
Automatization.
Automating.
You can't really, like if we're talking glycol, you can't really automate glycol too much more, right? Like your RTD tells the solenoid or the actuated ball valve to open or close, and it opens and closes as it should.
But there's nothing like that that can help out.
No, there's how do you automate it?
You do it, it's new business to do, man.
Yeah, I don't know, I don't think you can automate that. What do you automate?
I have no idea.
This is the discussion, right?
You're the guy, man.
You know, I don't think it's, I don't know, unless you're going to have your sensors in your HMI read the temperature in the tank so that it knows when fermentation is done and auto crashes on its own, you know, maybe save you a few hours, which, you know.
Because the staff is always a big problem, people. It's like they're growing, you know, they're trying to grow, they're trying to simplify stuff, but it's always staff the problem, you know?
Yeah, no, it's true. That's a good question. I'll have to look into that for you.
Dude, man, I'm telling you, I just met a couple of guys, that's what they're trying to do, to try to find out ways to save more time, depending. Where you're doing not glycol but other stuff, you know, there's always small stuff you can do to help out, you know, time, like, and stuff like that.
Like the only thing you could really automate, I guess, or to increase your time is that, you know, is when you are done fermenting, when you're done your initial fermentation, you know, most breweries it takes 5 to 7 days, but if it ends in 4 days, why wouldn't you switch your cooling on as soon as it stopped raising, gaining temperature?
Dude, we're starting a business right now.
Are you backing me on it then?
I have no idea. Yeah, let's call somebody, a couple of people, I think, somewhere. 10% rate, I don't think they're going to give me money back right now.
But, you know, it's if you can gain a day, let's gain a day.
Yeah, that's it. That's people looking for micro minutes and seconds sometimes.
You know, there's 52 weeks in a year, and if, you know, you're turning a tank over every 2 weeks, you know, and you can shave a day or two off, that's a lot of extra production for not adding a tank.
Yeah, because I know a company, that's what they're doing. They're trying to find ways to do that.
Yeah.
So tell me, what's happening later on for you besides seeing smaller breweries doing small equipment, smaller brewers like that? What kind of trend do you see later, like in the future?
Well, the future's unknown.
You must be. I mean, you travel a lot, man. You must be, because you know, are you going to go to India? They're looking for a lot of people to build stuff on there.
The future for me is the East Coast and then down in the Caribbean. The Caribbean is starting to upgrade what they have. So through work with the suppliers, we're starting to go down there and transform one brewery at a time.
Okay, good.
So the U.S. is the U.S., but in Canada, I think you're just going to keep on seeing each province grow and then shrink and then grow and shrink. And it's not going to be all 13, 14 provinces at the same time. It's going to be...
There's only 10 provinces in Quebec, in Canada.
Well, then 3 territories.
Dude.
So...
Dude, man, even I know that, man.
They're all provinces to me because we're all one country. So there'll always be work. It's just a matter of what province is it in. You know, breweries close, other breweries buy their equipment, so I can move the equipment and I can install the equipment, you know, so that's, there's no shortage of work yet.
But do you see any trends, like let's say right now you're going to Caribbean's right now, what kind of beer they're putting right now, what kind of beer they're doing, are we doing like their coconut beer, stuff like that, what's
happening
there?
It's down there, down in Turks, you know, it's a light lager, it's a lager, it's an IPA, and like a cream ale or an amber ale.
Cream ale on there, yeah.
Yeah, so it's just the one brewery that we're doing. It only has 4 brands.
Because of their British heritage, or?
Because they have a lot of European people that come in there, so but they just they brew what people will drink. They're the only brewery on the island. So and because there's such a huge import fee, you know, they're the best price, and that's what everybody drinks.
But I'm surprised for Korean ale. I mean, if I be somewhere hot, I would be like, give me a lager all day long, man. Lag me all day long, man.
Yeah, but that's what they're used to down there, the heat.
Okay.
Right? We're used to being hot, cold, hot, cold. So we change our beer preferences. But, you know, when you want a beer with more flavor or dark, a heavy, little heavier, you're going to go for, you know, a cream ale. You're not, like, drinking an imperial stout or something really heavy. I haven't seen that down there yet.
The worst part, but if somebody give me a stout in a hot place, I will take it in a second, man. I'll take it in a second, man.
Oh, stouts are my go-to, so it wouldn't matter what the temperature was. It could be hot or cold, I'm still going to drink it.
So when is that project going to be running?
We go down early next year, and we finish next September. We have two trips now.
How big is it, man?
42 tanks.
Huge, man. And how long it takes to send stuff there to there, man?
They're saying shipping will take about 5 to 6 weeks. Stuff's leaving from Montreal, and then truck goes down to from Montreal to Chicago, from Chicago to Miami on a boat to the island. 2 or 3 sea cans full.
That's pretty good, man.
Yeah.
Are you gonna spend like 2 or 3 months there, like that?
We'll be there probably for the month of January and a bit into February, and then we'll be down there for the entire month of September to finish.
So I guess winter's not gonna be a concern for you.
Winter's gonna be a tan for me this year.
So, dude, thank you again for your time, and have a great trade show, man.
Perfect, thanks, man.
Because I know it's been people like this trade show this year.
This is a good turnout this year so far.
And people are like happy. Even if in Ontario, people are like. Couple of trouble. I've talked to a lot of brewers here, and they're like, "Yeah, don't worry, man. We're gonna pass through. It's gonna be hard. 2024 is gonna be hard, but we're gonna pass through." Man.
Yeah, no. People are looking good for this year. There's a few that you know that might go for sale, but everybody's looking pretty good.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much, man.
Thank you.